Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 8th of April 2013, the podcast that makes you gay while you sleep. This is your host, Shane Killian. Let's crib notes from the news of the bogus. Cheating is becoming a bigger and bigger problem in our schools. Of course, kids will be kids, and there will always be the temptation to cheat on a test. But sadly, that's not what I'm talking about. Nowadays, the cheating is being done by teachers and administrators. Award-winning district superintendent Beverly L. Hall has been indicted by a grand jury for racketeering, theft, influencing witnesses, conspiracy, and making false statements. If convicted, she could face up to 45 years in prison. Why? Because it turns out that all that was the secret behind her award-winning performance as a school administrator. The test scores, which include those of poor and minority students who outperform students in wealthier suburban districts, caused her to be named by the American Association of School Administrators as Superintendent of the Year, winning her an event at the White House and more than $500,000 in bonuses. It turns out that Hall and 34 teachers, principals, and administrators conspired to cheat directly, allow cheating and cover it up, and retaliate against whistleblowers. Georgia State investigator Richard Hyde says he's never seen anything like it. His investigation, which included third-grade teacher and whistleblower Jackie Parks wearing a wire to secretly record conversations with fellow teachers and administrators, uncovered evidence of outright fraud, which included 7 teachers, Parks herself being one of them, going over students' tests, erasing wrong marks, and putting down the correct ones. But for a while, the teachers were simply too scared of Hall to come forward. Then the governor appointed 2 special prosecutors. They were stonewalled and blocked, literally in some cases, as teachers barred them from entering their classrooms. But eventually their perseverance paid off, and Parks became the first teacher to confess. Quote, "I wanted to repent. I wanted to clear my conscience. The cheating had been going on so long, we considered it part of our jobs." She said that she hadn't come forward earlier out of fear of losing her job. And even as these things started to come out, Governor Sonny Perdue found that he still had resistance. Quote, "There was extensive subtle pressure. They'd say, 'Do you really think there is anything there? We have to make sure we don't hurt the city.' Good friends broke with me over this. I was dumbfounded that the business community would not want the truth. These would be the next generation of employees, and companies would be looking at them and wondering why they had graduated and could not do simple skills. Business was insisting on accountability, but they didn't want real accountability." To his credit, Perdue's response was to make the information public, including the conversations recorded as part of the investigation. They tell a story of good teachers who care about kids essentially being bullied by administrators going all the way up to Hall, and much of it is heart-wrenching. Here's a bit of a conversation between testing coordinator Milagros Moner and Principal Clarietta Davis. Quote, "Moner, I can't eat. I can't sleep. My kids want to talk to me. I ignore them. I don't have the mental energy." Davis, "You wouldn't believe how people just look at you. People you know." Moner, "You feel isolated." Davis, "There's no one to talk to. See how red my eyes are? And I'm not a drinking woman." Moner, "It has taken over my life. I don't even want to go to work." Ordinarily, I'd take this opportunity to close out the story by commenting on the morality of the situation, but I don't think I need to do so here. I'm having trouble finding the words anyway, so I'll just let the whole thing speak for itself. Res ipsa loquitur. If clandestine cheating by an authority figure is bad, how much worse is open systemic cheating? That's what's happening in Florida now that the State Board of Education has set different standards for students in math and reading based solely on their race. For example, while 90% of Asian students and 88% of white students need to be reading at or above grade level, only 81% of Hispanics and 74% of blacks need to. Not only is this plan hideously racist, just what do they think it's going to achieve? All it means is that schools no longer have to put forth the effort to educate the students who arguably need it the most. Sure, let's hold down black and Latino students even further. That's bound to make things better. The Florida Department of Education, in opposition to the public outcry about this, said that they were just setting goals that were realistic. If I weren't trying to avoid getting this podcast marked explicit on iTunes, I'd tell each and every one of you exactly what you can go and do with yourselves, you bigoted busybody bureaucrats. As it is, I'm just going to have to settle for calling bogosity on your racist policy. But since this time there are a lot of other voices rising up with mine, I'm okay with that. Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy.com. I've been a satisfied GoDaddy customer for over 10 years now. Their prices are great, and their 24/7 support is second to none. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or many other services, and get 20% off by typing in the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet service. Get your own .com with a personalized email address, or establish your online business in a snap, all for 20% off. And if you buy before April 30th, 2013, you'll get a whopping 35% off your order, and you'll help this podcast too. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. This next story is really hard to categorize. It's about the stupid, knee-jerk reactions by school officials to anything that might even vaguely resemble a gun. It's about the gun grabbing that gun control advocates say never happens. And it's about the ease in which our constitutional rights can be violated as easily as cutting butter with a broadsword. Let's start from the beginning. A teacher overheard a 10-year-old boy talk with two of his classmates about going over to somebody's house with a water gun, a paint gun, and a BB gun. Whereas teachers in a time gone by would simply have said, "You'll shoot your eye out, kid." This teacher panicked and told the principal, who panicked and called the police. Despite the fact that there are not even any allegations of violent threats by any of these students, officials interrogated the boys, discovering that they didn't even have access to a BB gun, a paint gun, or even a water gun, and certainly no access to any actual firearms. Ridiculously, the boy was suspended from school for 2 days. But that wasn't the end of it. The boy's father, John Mayer, got a visit from policemen at his home threatening to confiscate his firearms. And how did they know he had firearms? Gun registration, of course. Mayer had permits for every single one of them. They were also properly stored and locked away. But the next Monday, he got a call from his local licensing bureau saying that his license was being suspended and police would be arriving at his home the next day to confiscate his firearms. Keep in mind that there have been no criminal charges and no one has even set foot in any courtroom. Mayer gave a friend his 15 handguns for safekeeping and stored his long arms at a local gun store to keep the police from grabbing them. Now, Mayer's license is suspended until further notice, and officials say the suspension could last until his son, who never even so much as threatened any violence against anyone, who never even mentioned holding an actual firearm in his hand, who never even mentioned any actual firearm at all, grows up and moves out of the house, which could be another 8 years or even longer. Mayer's lawyer, James Murtha, has said that Mayer has no history of criminal or violent behavior and no history of mental illness. Nor does his son. But according to New York law, one of the requirements of a licensed gun owner is that he be, quote, of good moral character. What does that mean? It's not defined anywhere in New York law or American jurisprudence. Murtha is understandably indignant. Quote, "We understand that in this day and age things can get perceived wrong, but we are talking about a child making silly comments. And now a man's constitutional rights have been dramatically violated. A clear message has to be sent that the government can't threaten citizens this way. Firearms are not frightening. Not a single one of my firearms has ever put on a pair of shoes, run down the street, and killed somebody." The larger lesson here is that there's no one person you can point to and say it's his fault. Sure, the teacher overreacted. The principal way overreacted. Then you have the police and the licensing bureaucrats and on and on and on. Really, all of these people are just players in a system, an increasingly corrupt system that cannot be changed for the better simply by electing and appointing the right people. This is when you know the system itself has to be completely dismantled and replaced with something hopefully a little more humane. In these troubled economic times, isn't it a relief to know that the Federal Reserve is there, managing everything to make sure the economy is stimulated into recovery? Well, no, not really. Mostly because the Federal Reserve isn't doing that. In fact, it's doing yet more of what led to the problems to begin with. Case in point, Jeffrey Nelson, a school bus driver and constable in Jasper, Alabama. He's trying to stay afloat under a pile of medical bills, and he recently had a car that was repossessed. His credit report wasn't exactly a happy story. And yet, he was still able to get a loan of over $10,000 from a Wall Street subprime lender so he could buy a 2007 Suzuki Grand Vitara. His down payment was a 12-gauge shotgun. Months later, he and his wife split. He has filed for bankruptcy, and she very likely isn't far behind. Nelson, who at the time of the loan was grateful someone was willing to take a chance on him, now sees it as a contributing factor in his financial downfall. So how does this happen? How does a loan get so easily made to an obviously risky borrower? The answer has everything to do with Federal Reserve policy. After ruining the housing market by reducing lending standards and backing up riskier and riskier loans, they're now doing the same with the automobile market. Supposedly, more people buying cars will stimulate the economy and finally give us the recovery we need. In reality, more people like Jeffrey Nelson will get driven into bankruptcy. The market for subprime auto loans has risen. In 2012, a total of $18.5 billion in securities backed by subprime auto loans was sold by lenders, up from $11.75 billion in 2011. So far this year, it's $5.7 billion, up from $4.4 billion at this point last year. Exeter, the firm that loaned the money to Nelson, estimates that 1 in 4 borrowers will default. Folks, this is exactly how it worked in the years leading up to the housing crisis, only with cars instead of houses. More and more people are getting loans beyond what their risk as a borrower would allow for. As I said last week, I don't know how to undo the damage, but I know how to prevent further damage, and the Federal Reserve System. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's Liberty Classroom. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, Liberty Classroom teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you'll get the full site's content for just $99 a year. You can watch or listen to the lectures whenever and wherever you want, even in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to the professors via the discussion forum and even live video chats, all for the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. Use our special URL, libertyclassroom.bogosity.tv, and when you sign up, you'll be helping this podcast too. So bookmark libertyclassroom.bogosity.tv and use it when you sign up. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit libertyclassroom.bogosity.tv. And now it's time to inoculate ourselves against this week's biggest bogon emitter. We've covered the anti-vaccination crowd here before. We've seen their distortion of science get more and more extreme, their honesty get more and more diminished, and their delusions get greater and greater. I think it just hit a critical mass. Italian scientist Gian Paolo Vannoli, a vocal proponent of so-called alternative medicine, is claiming that vaccines are responsible for homosexuality. According to the Huffington Post's translator, Vannoli said, quote, "The vaccine is introduced into the child. The child then grows and tries to find its own personality, and if this is inhibited by mercury or other substances present in the vaccine which enter the brain, the child becomes gay." Wow. So vaccines affect developing minds and result in homosexuality. Gee, I guess Pyotr Tchaikovsky and George Bernard Shaw shouldn't have had all those vaccines then. Quote, "The problem will especially be present in the next generations, because when gays have children, the children will carry along with them the DNA of their parents' illness." Wait, what? How does this guy think genetics works? He just said that it's the developing brain being affected by chemicals. That does not change DNA. If homosexuality is genetic, then vaccines do not cause it. If homosexuality is caused by vaccines, and it isn't, then those changes are not genetic and do not get passed on. Now Vannoli shows his true colors. Quote, because homosexuality is a disease, even though the WHO has decided that it's not, who cares? The reality is that it is so. Oh, but he's not a homophobe. After all, it's not their fault. It's just like someone who, quote, suffers from cancer or a heart attack. But we have to say that it's an illness, something that does not respect the order of life. Unbelievable. Back to his anti-vax nonsense. Quote, one of the main causes is represented by vaccines, which go against life, disturbing our mind and our spirit. No, vaccines work by provoking an immune response against a disease, the same response as if you'd got the disease yourself, without the inconvenience of actually getting the disease. That's kind of the whole point. This is just more new-age, nature-philic, touchy-feely bogosity. Quote, the proof of that is the big increase in the number of homosexuals. Since mass vaccination began, this is the result. No it isn't. There's no data whatsoever to show that there are any more homosexuals today than there have been throughout human history. The only difference is that today, more of them are visible because they have to worry less and less about bogus oppressions from bigots like Vannoli. So we don't have any more homosexuals today. But you know what we have less of? Polio, smallpox, measles, rubella, varicella, mumps, and many other easily preventable diseases. In fact, the only places where you see a surge of these diseases are places where there just aren't enough people vaccinated against them. And you know what? If getting rid of those diseases really did result in more gay people, I'd be okay with that. It's better than children dying. Quote, each vaccination produces homosexuality. Really? Each vaccination? I was vaccinated, so... Uh-oh! I must be gay! Man, I'm gonna hate breaking that news to my girlfriend. Quote, because it prevents the formation of one's personality. It is a microform of autism, if you will. Wow, homosexuality is a microform of autism? For the record, there is no link whatsoever between homosexuality and autism, and autistics are no more likely than anyone else to be homosexual. Quote, you will see how many gays there will be in the next generation. It will be a disaster. I don't think so. I think we'd be fine with more gay people around. And I think we'd be even better off with fewer homophobic bigots like you, Vannoli. We'd also be better off with much fewer anti-vaxxers. But when you're dealing with an anti-vaxxer and a homophobe, you get more than double the bogosity. It's like bogosity squared. That's why no one else can touch Gianpaolo Vannoli as this week's biggest bogon emitter. And now it's time to turn upside down and shake this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
So while the Fed is trying to get an automotive bubble going to destroy the economy again, President Obama is bound and determined to have yet another housing crisis. Yes, just like George W. Bush before him, Bill Clinton before him, George H.W. Bush before him, Ronald Reagan before him, and Jimmy Carter before him, Obama is continuing the long-standing bogus tradition of making home loans more available to people with weaker credit ratings. Yeah, 'cause that's worked out so well in the past. And how are they doing it? That's right, taxpayer-backed programs insuring these home loans against default. So once again, the banks are going to be free to make risky loans, and you and I are going to have to bail them out when they fail, as they inevitably will. Also, housing officials want the Justice Department to assure the banks that they will not face legal or financial consequences if these risky borrowers default. Geez, has no one in government learned the lessons of the financial crisis? All of this at a time when the Federal Reserve is pumping $40 billion a month into the economy by buying mortgage-based securities. Is Obama trying to destroy the economy? Does he want another bust? Does he want to keep people in a down economy with high unemployment forever? If he set out to do this deliberately, he could not possibly do a better job. There just is no doubt about it anymore. Obama is a moron. And so is anyone who continues to support him after this. There really is no competition for this one. Barack Obama is by far this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
this Taste the Rainbow edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page, and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. A quick reminder to update your links as the podcast page has moved. Podcast.bogosity.tv no longer redirects to Podbean, and the old links on the Podbean site will eventually be going away. Thank you for listening. Until next time, here's a quote from Malala Yousafzai. Don't need to change the system. Change your minds. System will change by itself. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 imported license. Bogosity. Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.